Thank you for listening to this recording of Family Bible Church's Sunday morning message. We pray that God will use this word to bless and encourage you.
I don't know. We're good? It is green. And I'm going to need your help on that one, I think. You do your expertise back there. There we go. All right, let's go back one. Probably. That's fine. Perfect. We'll work on that. We'll work on that. Well, good morning. Devin, of course, Pastor Bob mentioned my wife's son. Son, can you peek it? There she is. You know, of 35-plus years, and God has blessed us tremendously. You know, that's pretty good, 35, huh? Wow. Some of y'all say, you ain't made it yet, but some of y'all thinking, whoa, that's deep. But, yeah. 35-plus years, we oversee Full Circle Refuge, a what we call a juvenile justice ministry. We have been in operation since 1999 as a nonprofit faith-based organization. Is that going to move back there, or is it sliding? Or yeah, we'll see, because I'm kind of AD and LC. And I need that going, because if I don't, man, I get confused. And, you know, y'all might be here forever. All right, we'll get that. We'll get that going. But we'll give a little bit of that piece this morning. And as the slides are rolling, I want to also thank Family Bible for many years of support. And also Pastor Bob and others that discipled myself and son many years ago when we were young believers. And never thought that this is where we will be at in life at this moment. It's truly amazing. You know, truly amazing. I'll go ahead and try to flip that once, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, technology. Isn't that cool? Well, if I turn it on, I guess that'll work, huh? There we go. Man. And, well, that didn't work. We can go to the next slide if you want to. Yep, right there. And that'll be a good spot to hang out with right now. Thank you. And so, yeah, many years ago, being discipled and was in the military at that time. Now, of course, retired many years ago. And God just leading us into full-time mission work. And it's a different mission work. It's I probably said this before, and we don't speak a foreign language, but we do. We're not going to roll the snake in down to that, but we will say, talk about the things that we're challenging. We're not going to make you eat bugs today, okay? But we are missionaries, and God has called us to a mission, and it's right in our own community. Of course, some of y'all were here last time we came here. Joseph or Joe was here. Joe, won't you stand up, please? Joe is one of our spiritual sons. We met many years ago in the situation we talked about, and he's doing well. He rode his motorcycle down here to be with us this morning from Loganville. So pray for him in the storm when he has to go back today. But he says he's going to do fine. And he is doing well, working well, taking care of his mom well. You know, it's amazing. You don't know. One of the things is when you meet people for the first time and God leads you to somebody, you don't know where God's going to take them. And it's amazing. Joe's been in our home many times to stay, and we converse a lot about life. Of course, Terrell is here. Terrell, stand up and don't hit the ceiling now, okay, because he's 6'5", okay. And Terrell is one of our spiritual sons also. And Bob might remember it back many years ago when Terrell was 14, that's when I met him. And he was that tall, all right, a little bit slimmer, but a big fro on his head. Just picture that, okay. That's height. All right? And he didn't want to hear nothing I had to tell him. He didn't. Nothing at all. But he wanted to hang out and, you know, have a burger each week. And you can tell he's got some unique art on him. And talk about that world every week, his gangs and gang life. And as I would minister to him and challenge him and but not really applying anything I was telling him. But we continue to meet. Well, God sometimes And this is an amazing thing. If you're trying to reach people, family members or neighbors or strangers, remember, it's where God places them. And when you start praying for them, he could put them in a predicament so they will listen. All right? And he did. I got that painful phone call one night about 12 o'clock. A mom on the phone, and you couldn't understand what she was saying and pleading, crying. You didn't know if somebody had been shot or that person is shot somewhere. Well, Terrell tried to take somebody's life, and it was a serious situation. So God placed him at the Augusta RYDC at that moment in his life, and I got to speak to him every week. He introduced me to other men there, young men there. We got to minister to and develop a relationship. And then when Terrell was sentenced to 8 to 15 years, He did some of his time as a juvenile at Augusta YDC. In one of our programs I'll talk about in a little bit, he was living a life of promise. He was in our program, in our group, and it's an 8 to 9 week program, not NAAA, but it's all centered on Christ, not some bird or the light bulb or whatever you want your God to be, okay? So it deals with everything centered where God can transform you, and you're not the you. It's not that the other people are the problem. You are the problem, okay? And why you have an addiction or you're dealing with issues. And Terrell, most of the times, I want you to understand, when people get locked up, several times they develop credibility. It was Terrell's first time being locked up, and he became a leader immediately in his dorm, all right, and also a leader in our group. And came to know the Lord and started leading other young men to the Lord. I remember when Terrell was getting ready to be transferred to prison. And I remember we were finishing up our program that night. He could have said anything. He could have said, "Are you going to visit me when I'm in prison? Are you going to bring me some food? Are you going to put some money on my money? Or are you going to send me a letter? Or are you going to do these things?" He didn't say any of that. He came up to me, almost a tear in his eye, and he doesn't mind me saying, I've already asked him, so I know this is personal to Terrell. And he looked at me and he says, "Thank you for introducing me to Jesus." And that's all he said, you know, and he went on to prison, of course. And Terrell was released, and I'm probably going to get the date wrong, probably. I think it was 2015, wasn't it? December? November? And you know, and was really excited. Was actually one of the youngest guys to go to the Augusta Transition Center. Most of the guys that go through the Transition Center down there are older guys, and he transitioned out of that, started to develop a relationship again, focus on things. He struggled a lot. It's just a reality that people don't understand that why you can't get it right. You know, we think. But the mind and what's going on and the battles and things and what you knew from the past, all right, is all piled on you. So he had a tough transition coming out. And we walked through that. And Terrell had epiphany. You know, God gives that sometime. He was at a place and, you know, and trying to just be social with his age group. And somebody pulls a gun and starts shooting. And he called me up and he said, "Devin, God just gave me epiphany. A bullet just went right by my head." And he says, "I need to just stay away from it. I need to keep my focus." Terrell started going to a church in South Augusta that was really dominating, extreme charismatic. And he was asking me a lot of questions. And they tried to control him. It really offended him and hurt him of a church that tried to get him. It's difficult now for that transition back into it, he tells me. But he wants to be in church every week. He wants to be there, but he's working, got a good job, and got a little, and I use some street language, so if you had to translate this, ask somebody next to you. He's got a little hoopty car, all right, it runs, it gets him to work, you know, it's got helmets, you know, he's got a colorful blanket on the window to keep the rain out, but I said, "Why you got the colorful blankets on the window?" He says it's so somebody in my neighborhood thinks it's a girl car so they won't break into it or nothing, you know? So just you have to operate that way, you know? You have to operate. So we're thankful for Terrell being with us this morning also, and just pray for him. He he really feels that he wants to reach his peers, and his peers is not the peers that you're thinking about, his gang. He really wants to reach them. We have had opportunities. He's given me license, in a sense, to walk into his group and speak truth to them. And a little over a summer ago, I got to speak to the whole crowd. I mean, from the youngest to the oldest, and present the gospel in a park. That's like amazing. I wasn't going there to do that. I was going to bring sodas and pizza and just hang out and try the relationship. And God, just it happened, you know. And we did some follow-ups with them guys. So that's where it, like Bob probably remembers, and others remember when we were young and I had hair on my head, and you know. But that's been my passion, to do that. And that's where God has taken us to, and I'm excited about that. So if this is all fresh to you, I'm gonna go through a little of the basis of what Full Circle Refuge, and then as a preacher at heart, I'm gonna challenge you about some things. About culture tonight, what's happening in the world, and how we need to be encouraged by what we are about, all right? And maybe encouraged why you see Terrell and Joseph here this morning, too, that there is hope. There is hope for our world, and it is. So I'm going to give you a couple, and we're just, so like Bob said, there might be some people never met us before, and you need to understand what this Full Circle Refuge is all about. Now, let's see if this thing's going to work for us. And hey, there's Joe. Yeah, I don't think it's gonna flip for me. Something happened. All right, go back. And I'm gonna. Joe said I couldn't use this excuse this morning. That I'm getting old, and I forget people's names. So, Mark. That was easy. Mark, can you go on that one, please? And if this doesn't work, we'll just go with what we got. And what I want to do is this video, I want to set it up. I want to bring you to a perspective what we deal with. So you understand that, yes, you're in Martinez, and I live in a nice part of Grovetown, and we live in these sterile lives. We do. We live in a good life. We enjoy our neighborhoods, but you know, there's things happening in our communities on the other side of town or downtown or somewhere else, and it's a different world that we don't understand sometimes. Why is this happening? You know. Matter of fact, this is what we're going to do, Mark. We're going to skip that video, and I'll have you, if you don't mind doing the flipping back there, I appreciate that. We're going to skip that, and you can go to the next slide after that. I want to do that, and bring you something to a point, and hold it right there. As you probably heard over a weekend ago, and then early this week, there was a lot of, not only the Las Vegas thing, but there was a lot of violence in Augusta. And, you know, I was downtown with the mayor of Augusta speaking up just Saturday morning when the shooting at the Waffle House happened. Well, Terrell had another epiphany. He was going to work. He went in there, and there was a crowd. He just left there before that shooting happened. You know, this is where things are vulnerable. You heard about the 13-year-old that took a life of a homeless woman, and this weekend. Last Wednesday, and wondering how that happens. And I want you to understand one things about the Georgia law. A very drastic havoc in his life, moving from home to home and possibly in DFACS, has been missing for 2 months before this happened. All right, so he was out there. This picture, your child, okay, 12 or 13 or other, is out there trying to make decisions. Now, I'm about due to crime, and he will be charged as an adult, and he will do time for being as a murderer, and he will do the expectations of that. You know, that's just reality. This is what we see every single day. I want you to understand this is happening in our communities. That scenario could have been avoided. It could have been. That's what I look at a picture in the crime report, and I look at the eyes, and I go, "Do I know that child? Did we meet before? Could I said something more to him? You know, but I don't recognize him. But the guys I work with already know him, and they knew he was struggling with a lot of things, you know. But that could have been avoided, because remember this: family has lost two people. All right, because this young man will be lost to the system forever. And somebody has lost their mother or their wife, a relative because of this. So this is what's important and why we are challenged by this. I told the kids last facility, I said, you know why we're here? You know, well, you're here to give us, talk to us about Jesus. You're trying to make us do better. And I said, no, we're just here to prepare you for death. You know, that's all. You know, that's all we're doing. I mean, if you know Jesus is your personal Savior and Lord, you are ready for death. You are. These folks I eat my Wheaties this morning. You know, no, not Mark. Shared a tremendous testimony about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Son's going to get me after this. He's going to get me. Tammy, you shared about the Jehovah's Witness, and you felt bad about they're going to leave your house, and she's going to go to hell if she dies today and because she doesn't know the Lord. And that's the passions that we should have. That's the motivation. That's the courage we get to do every week. It's the reason why we go. We drive. We don't drive as much as we used to do, 5,000 miles a month. We're right around 2,000 to 5,000, I mean 3,000. The vehicle we have out there has it's almost 260,000 miles on it. And I remember when I bought it brand new in 2011, all right, it had 72 miles on it. Okay, so you just kind of do the math. But that's what we do. We go there because that's what the goal is. You know, that is the goal. Wherever we go. So it says on the screen to see Jesus transform the lives of juvenile offenders and at-risk youth. One of the things that this mission statement helps me and others understand, it ain't about me. It's not about the church. It's not about the pastor. It's not. It's about Christ, you know, transforming a person. It's an awesome thing to see, you know. And I want you to understand something about Terrell. Terrell, when I first met him, I felt like I could never let him in my inner circle because he was too dangerous. I would never let him come to my house, never, when he was younger. He never saw my house. You know, some boys, when we allow them into our inner circle. And I said, there's no way, God, that's no way that boy going to ever change. You know, he's dangerous. And I just had to leave it alone. And guess what? God did it. It's amazing. God did it. Transformation. Transformed the lives of youth at risk and juvenile offenders. It's awesome. You know, just years ago, he looked at me and goes, I need help. And what he was going through. And I'm telling you, Joe, man, is like a magnet. We can't get rid of him. You know, every chance he can to come and hang out with us. He wants to do that. He wants to do that. That's what it's about. So we're modeling. We're relational building. We're showing our marriage life to these young men, what it looks like, you know, what's important, and extending their lives. That's what it's about. Mark, can you flip that again? Thank you, sir. Our vision. And we can hit the next one. It comes down. Excuse me. And it says, to create and implement biblical intervention strategies that address juvenile crime and its underlying problems by focusing on youth or redirection, focusing on the redirection of youth to Jesus Christ. What this gives us, and it's getting more difficult, Bob, from many years ago, that we used to get rub shoulders with social justice, social agencies, secular places, and but not compromising who we are. Give them a tool, but now they're like, I don't know if we want that, you know? Because you're talking about something that might offend somebody. Jesus Christ might offend somebody. So we get to still interact. We still get to go to 10 facilities throughout the state. We're in the schools doing things. And we know our barrier, but we're not there. We're there to develop a relationship to move forward through that process. It's an awesome opportunity, a door that's been opened to us to create that environment. Mark, go ahead and hit that next slide, sir. Thank you. And our commitments, it's been since the beginning, is to bring the gospel to young people from all kinds of things. Like you've heard, last time I talked about the stories of the Wiccans and the Satanists and the Buddhists and the Muslims that we get to interact with. Man, it's amazing. Now, I want you to understand, years ago in the 90s when we used to go into YDC, and some of y'all went with me. And back in the day, Brian had more hair back then, too. He didn't have all them kids, neither. You know, that's what it is, man. But Brian used to drive his Jeep. Me and him in the Jeep used to go up there, and y'all didn't know he had a Jeep, man. He was cool then. You know, he was cool, man. He had a Jeep. It was yellow, wasn't it? Oh, sorry, man. Yeah, we got to make it right, man. And we used to drive up there. We used to meet kids. It seemed like there was some kind of connection. They had some kind of church upbringing. But now what we're seeing, us and the volunteers are seeing kids that are really serious about their religious faith. We're meeting quite a few Muslims in juvenile facilities now. At Augusta Wadi, they have one facility that's all Muslims there. And all shapes of color, too. And, you know, there's some things in there that they're saying, well, that makes them, if you understand, of a young mind, I'm somebody, gives you worth, that you're different. You create this environment that, you know, you better respect me, or it gives you something to think about, or it's a food thing. I got to eat certain foods. And, you know, they might not have bought into the whole Islam faith, but they're there. But I tell you what, I'm just amazed. I was out there a couple months ago, and the volunteer coordinator said, we were riding from dorm to dorm and doing some follow-ups in the volunteers. Devin, you don't want to go in that one, do you? I said, why? She goes, that's where the Muslims are. I said, are you challenging me? Let's go on over there. Let's go on over there. And we walked up in there, and they were watching a movie. And I walked in, and all of this, just by spirit leading, because I don't have an agenda, just letting him lead and lead to the people and have a conversation. You know, and you know the amazing thing? Some kids go, you know I'm Muslim. I said, I got it, man. Well, I'm not here to beat you up, man. Let's just talk, you know? Or we go to a new unit down in Millersville now. It's called ITU. ITU. It's intensive training or just therapeutic. It's intense. It's like ISS in school. It's the ISS DCs. That means you can't hack it here. Send you here. And it's a super max youth facility. 20 boys in there in pods. And there's quite a few Muslims in there. So we do this walk-a-pod. We don't do Bible studies formally where everybody says walk. We walk to each pod, pray. They're in there, you know, playing their video games in the cage TV that you can't hear. You know, it's a cage TV, you know. How do you think about that, young folks? A cage TV you can't, you know, look at. So we're sitting in there. One kid came up to me. He told me, I said, man, how's things going? What's your concerns? I'm concerned about the end of the world, he said. I said, all right, well, let's just talk about this. Well, I said, and he's getting on, and then I'm concerned about his life. And I said, how can I pray for you today? He goes, I'm a Muslim. I said, I didn't ask you that. I just said, I'm going to pray for you. And he looked around, see if anybody else was looking, you know, other so-called Muslims. And he said, yeah, I need prayer. Of course, he put his hands out like this. No problem. This is symbolic, you know, because we know who rules and who's more powerful. That's what it's about. I'm not worried about their false god at all. As we get to do all walks of life, all walks of life. It's amazing mission field. It's amazing. It's not just somebody coming to your door. Go right there, and there they are. You know, there they are sitting there, and we get to meet them. Now, I'm going to tell you, being real, we've seen over the years of this business, we've been in this for a minute, we see a lot of jailhouse religion happening. Because, you know, we all like that. When we get in a struggle, we need some Jesus real quick. That's my testimony. I was a foxhole salvation in the desert. That's what happened. When bullets and missiles start flying, you want some Jesus real quick. And I struggled with that after I came out of war. But the reality is people are locked up. You can have 4 houses. But as soon as they leave Jesus in lockup. And we see that. But our goal, we found out, if we have reinforcement or bring an awareness of God to the point, is confirming that in checks and balances and seeing where their heart is. You know, because we get a lot of jailhouse religion. You know, but that doesn't stick, because most likely they'll be back. They will be back. You know, next slide, Mark. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Hit that next slide. All right, so our goals is every institution is open to ministry. And I want you to know, we live in the Bible Belt in the South. Guess what? Everybody wants us to come in. All right, it doesn't work that good up north. All right, because it's soccer on Sunday. You know, you're interfering with all that. Now, what church? You know, soccer on Sunday. But I went in a facility down in Eastman, and me and son walked in, and we were sitting there waiting, and staff transferring from their shift, and you can hear them, just the staff, just filthy mouth coming in. They've been on a shift, and just talking as they were trying to get out the door. And then they looked over, who are you? I said, we're coming to do a Bible study. Oh, yeah, they need some Jesus. They really need to see the mindset, all right? The mindset, the concept, all right? Yes, they needed Jesus too, all right? And the mindset. It's so departmentalized of what we think religion or faith is today in America. You know, it's so crazy. As somebody said, we can come and do our time here and then go back out there and be another person. And they think that's okay. We're good in God. That's not what the Bible is talking about. Not at all. All right? So every offender, the opportunity to hear and respond. We don't force nobody. Everything that people come into our groups is volunteer. You know? Is volunteer. Now, the problem that's happened over the years. Years ago, we used to go in. And, man, they have the whole place packed because they allow everybody to come. But because of safety and security, they only allow 1 to 8 now. That means 1 staff to 8. If they ain't got enough staff, they can't bring them all. So they bring up 5s and 10s. That's it. Christmas events, which you all will be aware of in a couple months, we have to do in some of our facilities 5 events at one time. I mean, just consecutive, because they can't bring them all in no more. You know, and talk about wearing me and son out. You know, think about it. We go to Atlanta, YDC, 80-plus boys, and we serve every one of them, myself and son, serve every one of them a meal, a program. We do some kind of skit and a gift. Just picture that. So remember the 1 to 8. Just kind of picture how many times we got to do that. And I'm already can't remember things, and my tongue is already tied. You know, I'm repeating, and I'm like, whoa. But God endures. When they say you cannot say Jesus anymore, it's time to go. You know, it's time to go. But that's what they allow us to do. You know, so every Christian called, because we're called to juvenile ministry, trained. It's like mission work. We have our orientation. But I want to challenge you all something. And I remember years ago, and Bob remembers, you know, it seems like there was a good niche for in the Augusta community for something like this. You know, back in July or something, we promoted. And we put out that we were going to have a training, because I do things that work, and when it don't work, I just don't focus on it. All right, but the volunteers and the board encouraged me to do another training. Well, we promoted it. We had a place, everything. It looked good. 0 showed up. All right, 0 in the Augusta community. 0. All right, and that's a challenge for me, because sometimes myself and son think, you know, either this ministry is going to die with us, myself and son, and this is what God has called, so we're going to continue to do what we do. And it's a very unique ministry. It's very challenging. It's not like anything else, and so it's hard to grasp sometimes, and I realize that, you know. So it's a challenge, and I challenge you. If God is pulling your heart and you feel like we have the tools, We have the tools. We do. I'm not talking about you doing the things I'm doing right now. I'm not talking about that. It's just a little bit. Always we need just that little bit of others, you know. And for you young folks in here, you know, as you get of age, God is pulling your heart because we need young people, man. We, you know, and we're speaking to young people, you know. Y'all remember, Bob remembers that we used to call 30-something church, wasn't it? Now it's like, man, we're almost a 60-something church, huh? Man, it's crazy, huh? It is. But every believing juvenile offered discipleship. And Terrell and Joseph is discipled. Encouragement. Me and Terrell, we meet every week for lunch, and we talk about the hard issues and deal with the hard things and deal with Scripture. You know, Joseph always is asking me something about just life economically, financially, or life things. And I said, well, let's see what God's Word says about that. All right, for you, hear my opinion. You know, that's discipleship. That's discipleship, and we do that. Mark, can you hit that next slide? Thank you, sir. So this is what our ministry looks like. A lot hasn't changed over the year, and we feel like this is a good niche of what we are. Of course, we're doing Bible studies in 10 facilities throughout the state of Georgia on a weekly or a monthly basis. Of course, we have the ITU. I just said that's one of our newest places, and I enjoy going. I've been praying for that place because it's the worst of the worst. That's what I want to be. You know, of course, we're in Atlanta, YDC, Eastman, YDC, Sumter, YDC, which is about 4 hours from here. You know, myself and son go to every... Now, I want you to understand, we could drive all the way there, and they go, we don't have enough staff. I'm sorry. 4 hours. You done drove. All I figure is, you know, we get to have our shake early at Sonics, or I get to see the other side of the road when it's light, you know, all the way back. And God has a purpose. It's not some mishap. You know, God might be teaching us something in the process. We don't know, you know. But if they even allow us in there and there's only one, that's who we're there for. You know, my personality, I need a crowd. I need a crowd, and God convicts me. One, you speak to him just like there's 100 or 200 in here. If you're on our mailing list and you saw that we had last month the pre-hurricane drive, and we drove to Eastman YDC, and they put us in this loud cinder block room, and four boys walked in, and they all had their leather-bound Bibles, and they were brand new, and I was like, wow, they're nice Bibles. Where'd you get them? Well, in July, we were baptized, and then we got the opportunity to speak how to meditate on God's Word. I was trying to remember your little acronyms. I was like, man, I was trying to go through that. I was like, I got it, but I gave them good enough information so they can understand how to go through God's Word. And it was amazing to watch that and see that. That's why we go. Next slide. Oh, not hold up right here, Mark. I'm jumping. You know, I got to look up here. Community transition. Of course, I've seen in your bulletin that you're going to have the Augusta Rescue Mission come here and speak. We do. We go there. Got it. We have a standing contract with the Augusta Rescue Mission since a year now that any of our kids that are 17, 18 up, are released and they want to transition back here, they'll provide the place. We'll provide the discipleship and all the other things. We'll rally around them. But guess what? We haven't had a kid take us up on it yet. It's so scary to them, the transition of moving that. They want to go where? Where do you think they want to go? Back to home where they think it's normal and they don't realize what's happening there. That's what got them in that environment. You know, so nobody's taking us up on that. But we have that standing agreement. A gang of of work in the community, and my nice little beautiful head gets on TV once in a while, or a front page of the Augusta Chronicle like it did a couple months ago, and it was on Sunday, and they had a color picture. Man, that's pretty good. And if you didn't know, all right. Says, you don't need to do that. You need to get rid of all. That was amazing. So we do a lot of work, you know. Amazing thing, I get calls from. Ear to the street. check of what it's about. Of course, we continue to do orientations. Group earlier. This is one of the hardest ones in this community, is at-risk youth mentoring. At-risk is kids that have never been locked up, that are already struggling. And you know the problem with this? We have all the material and no men. You know, no men. You know, what does it take to do this? All it takes is somebody once or twice a month and have a burger and go through a curriculum that we have. That's all it takes. Encourage and pray, you know. Because you heard me say the statistics before, about 95% of the kids we work with are fatherless. And this is the missing equation in the whole thing, is the men. It is because of what everything that we see in this world is because of that. And it's difficult. It's very difficult to get that process going. Because I get calls from mamas all the time, can you help my child? Everyone, I don't know why I'm telling them we're a Christian organization, help me. Church, they talk to their pastor. You know, they will go to somebody outside to help their child. It's happening in, you know, the South. All right, well, go ahead and hit that next slide, sir. Our verse. Bob can beat me up later, but I like this. I like King and get through it, you know, because you grammar it is difficult, you know, very difficult. But the and I've looked at it and I've it complements the original text of what we know. So our verse is, don't be. Are you thinking that? Can you? Is transformed by, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed in your mind. It's a specific verse we think. Change everywhere we go, even schools, here to change. I didn't remember this. I'm trying to figure out the name for this ministry. We'll name it Metanoia. It's the way you think. Full Circle Refuge sticks. They probably do. You tell me that. I was hoping that was, you know, one day to know. But you think in act. This is what we. You can change that next one. That you saw earlier. And our goal is to relationship at the end. You know, talking about, man, we can't even get in there because it's so much red tape and so much politics, and sometimes they think we might dig up something they don't want to see in their kids. All right? Because we're going to bring it out. So, call RPM. Kind of fact. They found out that 4 hours. He goes, Devin, don't you remember me? I say, yeah. Me that this was set up, so they partnered with us, and we call the And y'all want to go break bread with me? That means go out and have dinner, and I don't do Mickey D's. I don't do McDonald's. We're going to go where we sit down and eat some good food. And that's relational building. Now I can speak to them real and change that value. Where they tell me the hard issues they're dealing with, all right, and apply God's word to change the values. And man, teach myself what God is doing. I'm excited about it. Even I look at this pyramid. Get the next slide. Droves. It's the latest news, and you wonder why things are like it is. Well, this is a problem. And you know the Great Commission, and because the gospel says what? Go. I mean, how many years ago, son's Korean friend said, do this. Won't you wait? Won't you go? Told me a long time ago. I mean, you're gonna get old. The things I used to get got to do a long time ago, I cannot do. As getting tell the Great Commission. All right, this next sound works. We're gonna see. One of our kids, and I'm gonna transition real quick for a couple minutes to give you a challenge. All right, specifically, I want you to understand before you throw that up, and you go, what is his nationality? You can look at son and you go, she is some kind of Oriental person. Probably German or something. Isn't that right? So, what happened in our culture? The book you gave us, that Bible, the Evidence Bible. Do you have any more? Because we're getting ready to do a Bible study, and we'd like to use that. I was like, oh, God, thank you. Yeah, you know? And then he called just before the summer, and he goes, Devin, myself, my girlfriend, we're going to be running a Christian youth camp. We're going to be counselors there this summer and just need your prayers. I was like, man, that's it. That's what and you, Bob, remember, things is, exciting. Things and I'll play it back there. And this is, we wind this up. To pray, to be connected, calling list. Twice a month, a snail paper. And We get everything right, we can have opportunities to help us come alongside us to serve. You know, it's important to see this happen. So that's all back there, and Son will be back there when we wind this up to answer any questions, you know. But you know, and if you can make significant behavior, the New Testament, Romans chapter 5. And I'll be my version, but it'll come what you're doing. And the world deal. All right? Nobody. So when you see what the why because Romans chapter 5. 14, for time. Sin came into the world through and death came through sin. Everyone sin. You was no got to keep we're about got to be careful. We got to be. You have to be careful. You can. You can't. From your adopted into the family. You're no longer that other person, no matter what your skin color is. And that's the thing I have. God blessed me with this unique color. I get to mix with all kinds of nationalities, and I hear all kinds of things, and it hurts. And I'm in sometimes church. one sin in God's life. Laws were added to increase the failure, but when sin increased, guess what? God's kindness increased even more. As sin ruled by bringing death, God's kindness would rule by bringing us His approval. This results in our living forever because of Jesus Christ. It's because of His sacrifice. This is the coolest time to live or the worst time to live. Depends on what your faith is in Christ. You know? This is the time. This is the time to represent Him. You don't know how much longer, but it tells us, hey, you tell by the times when the people start hating on each other and you can't recognize the seasons. And you're thinking, man, is it time? It could be. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. It could be 1,000 years from now. We don't know. We should not have any debates about anything unless it's centered around Christ. A Muslim and I don't understand. I'm going to lose. We'll lose. The good news is the good news. You know, we know the bad news. We have seen it's disrespecting. It's because against an almighty God, and they don't. All right, the culture would be doing this. All right, and here's, keep this little gap. You know, yeah, he's probably already did this many, many times. I know how he does. Now, it has been a while. And the culture's doing this, and the church does the same thing. Guess where the church is at right now? What we should be doing, we should be getting higher. We should be printing God's word. We should. All these things. Many years. This because he couldn't figure this out. He said there's a profession. I like, no, it's not. It's all the same. Wherever I'm at. Wherever I'm at. We got to represent him well. It's the good news. With that, shed the light on young people's crime. That is not the main issue I'm dealing with at the point because I do because I'm not the justice system. I'm going to deal with their heart because they got pains and struggles why they committed that crime, why they got to that point, why they did that. All of us have struggles. So out there and people fighting against struggles and everything else from the past. They might have a justified for something, but the gospel is the one that solves that. Put off, it says, one of you all. All right? Remember what tomorrow is? They want to change it to my people's name, Indigenous Day. All right? I don't believe in that. That's the past. God made me this. In the love. Not what my family did in the past. I don't hold on to none of that. None of that. You know, none at all. And today we have to get to that point. We have to see. We all have mess and stuff to do. And we all have lottery. Into Israel, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people were, all right? They were persecuted people. But we call Jesus our Lord and Savior, and we make Him look all this. Struggle. And in the Garden of Gethsemane and all the things He had to deal with to get to that point. But He did it for us. We have to deal with these things. Got to be speaking truth. We and are we got myself didn't have any prejudice. Black churches, I speak. Churches, charismatic, I hear some rhetoric. I hear rhetoric. It's not of God. You know, until America, there's no hope. There's no hope. We can look at a man, all right, but are you in Christ? Pardon. If evil, we would all be guilty. We would all. We can point our finger at doing better can. At us. Or full circle refuge, just to encourage you and appreciate your support, but we need that prayer. What God has called. Especially in pictures, and we showed what we're about. This is what we're about. But all of us have one defining moment, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all of us should hate each other because the rhetoric that's been put out. But if we don't, it's because of what Jesus has done in our lives. So when you're looking at somebody that's not like you, remember, they're created in whose image, first of all? Is Christ, is Jesus' image. It's important in that perspective. Now, I want you to understand, raised in a prejudice home. Prejudice. And the reality is, man, I broke free from that. Well, God broke me free from that. He definitely did. So, first, and I'm out of here. You don't have to tell me there is in Matthew. Good people do good things. Are you a good or evil person? It's important to stand righteous. Proverbs says a righteous man's life will be extended and a wicked man's life will be cut short. We're trying to extend lives. You know, I had a wife. I was with my good disciples. And we were having a good time at this event we were at. And Wednesday, and I look at around you, even witnessed it. You know, you're 4 days from be put in the dirt. 4 days from this moment. Every single day, 4 days. 4 days. All of us have 4 days. You could die right now, and 4 days from now, they're putting you in the dirt. All right, and everybody's looking at your casket and saying things about you. Might not be real, true, but they're saying things. 4 days. That's all we get. 4 days. They might put in memory of it on the back. That'll rust. And they forget you. I'd like to make an information in the information back. Connect to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook. Seems like that's for us. I don't like Facebook. I have to use that as a free tool. It doesn't cost me anything. Hopefully it does. You can see our calendar. How to pray for us. Many of you all are on that already. We have a website. It's not updated a lot, but because of Facebook, keep that update a little bit better. We are missionaries. Hurting people. That's who we are. That's who we are. And again, if I don't say it enough, I appreciate your support. And I appreciate... ...5 hours of break, and I come... 5 hours...